Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Good to see everyone. Good to have a visitor with us today. Hallelujah. I want to chase you through the Scripture this morning. Can I do that? I hope so. You ain't used to be by now. All right. Let me sort of give you a game plan before I ask you to stand and turn in the Scripture. What I'm going to start tonight, I don't feel I can finish this morning. I will finish it, Lord willing, tonight. I'm going to give you about half this morning and half tonight. And if you like the dose you received this morning, come back tonight for the rest of it. Is that all right? Now, if you can't handle it and it's too hard for you and, you know, you get too bad convicted and you don't want to be motivated and you don't be challenged, and stay home. How many believe you need to come back tonight, though? Amen. Do what you can. Stand to your feet. Familiar passage of Scripture, the book of Micah, toward the end of the Old Testament, one of what they call the minor prophets. Dennis, how's my sound doing? All right. And also, right after that, I want to go to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, and we're going to read a passage there to set a foundation of where I want to go. I want to title my message, What God Wants From You. And then with the help of the Lord, based upon the New Testament, I will give you seven things. And I want you to get in with me this morning, receive the Word of God. I thank the Lord willing we'll get through three of them today, this morning, and then the other four tonight, if the Lord so will. If I don't get through one of them, that's all right too. How many are with me today? Amen. We'll just sort of play it by ear and listen to the Lord. And hallelujah, if you just dance and shout and just shout me down, just go for it. Praise the Lord. Micah 6, verse 8, a very common verse. I've heard it many times, used it myself upon a number of occasions. And we'll read this verse and then we'll pray. If you're in Micah 6 and 8, say amen.
Amen.
It says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Listen to these three things, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I want you to reach your hands this way. Let's agree in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this morning. We praise you this morning for your mighty hand extended to our lives. Thank you for the powerful cross of Calvary and precious blood that was shed for us to be saved, sanctified, delivered, and set apart. And Lord, today we look to you for help. We look to you for anointing. We look to you, Father, for understanding of your word. Lord, we cannot unlock your word without the very spirit that your word was recorded with as the Holy Ghost moved upon men of old as they wrote the scripture. And Father, I acknowledge you in the way of this message this morning that you direct our path. Lord, that you remove the stones, that any means of stumbling will be taken away, that the mind of our understanding will attend upon your word without distraction today as we look to you, have your way. Minister by your power, and Jesus be uplifted today through this word. We focus on you right now. Have your way. Minister by your power. For it's in your holy name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Shake someone's hand before you're seated. Says, good to see you in the Lord's house. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've asked you to locate Deuteronomy also. And in chapter 10 of the book of Deuteronomy, I want to read two verses. Micah said, I want to tell you something good. The Lord is showing you what is good, what's acceptable. And that is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk with God. And have me understand that that is applicable in the New Testament also. We still need to do justly, we still need to love mercy, and we still need to walk humbly with God. And I recognize the old covenant is the old and the new is the new. But help me understand if we were talking about the same God in both. I believe the same God through all 66 books of the Bible was there. Now in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 says, And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Sounds familiar to what Micah said. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And read these last three words with me. For thy good. How many understand that we are the benefactors of obeying God? Amen. I don't know what God gains from us obeying God, but here's the thing. I know I gain a whole lot from serving God, from obeying God, being obedient to His Word, and praise God. I want you to know when it comes to the great transaction that occurred at Calvary, I feel like I got the best end of the deal. How many are with me this morning? You know, what did I do? Well, I laid down my old, filthy, tattered, dirty garments and gained a brand new robe of righteousness. I got a relationship with Jesus because of what He did.
Amen.
Amen. And what I do is I believe today in walking in saving faith. I receive everything that He has for me. Glory to God. It's for you today. Receive what He's got for you and walk in obedience. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Now follow me to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Setting a foundation today, we see that different writers in the Bible talked about what is required. And today I don't look at the Scripture. I don't look at my relationship with God as a set of rules or a set of principles that I have to obey Him. But friends, I want you to know I want to obey God today. I desire to obey God today. I have determined that God's ways are the best ways. How many are on board with me today? And just in case you've not tried both sides, I'll tell you what, when you try the devil and you taste it of God, you understand that the best is with the Lord. Amen? I've tried the table on both sides, and I can tell you that the table of the Lord is the best place to come and dine and feast and receive everything you need, body, soul, mind, everything you need is found at the table of God. Say amen. Now, what I want to do is give you seven things. And I'm going to attempt to give you three this morning, but give you seven things in which God wants from you. And I know we often ask ourselves, Lord, what do you want? Well, I want to give you just a taste today. And I could have chose a lot of different things, but I've selected these seven things to share with the Church of God at Dunnville what God wants from you. Friends, I tell you what, I know what I want from Him. I want more of Him.
Amen.
How many believe that if we want more of Him, we'll get more of Him?
Yes.
How many believe they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled? That's a guarantee.
Amen.
And if you're hungering, you're desiring a closer walk with God and a touch of God, glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel something stirring this morning. Just get right in and receive all that He has for you. Sister Betty paid for it. He purchased it and it's ours, but it's ours for the possessing. And hear me now, there is an enemy of your soul. There is opposition. There is a foe. There is an adversary that will stop you if you will allow him. But you need to just press right through that. Glory to God. Israel was given the promised land. Abraham walked across on that land, but they still had to possess it. There was still a battle to be fought. And just because Jesus shed His wonderful rich blood on Calvary and paid the ultimate price for me and you, we've still got to fight to obtain that.
Amen.
We've got a burden and labor. We've got to carry this. Amen. Now notice Acts chapter number 8. I have used this in the past. The three things I want to share with you this morning have to do with what God wants from you. God wants two things from you: to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God wants you to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
This morning I want to talk about loving your neighbor as yourself. And I want to break that down into three things, and I think you'll see where I'm going shortly. But God wants to use you. God wants to equip you, prepare you to do a work, not to fulfill some self-gratification, not to feel good that you volunteered for an army. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
But He wants to do something through you for His own glory, to point people to Him. Amen. Let's get the name off the sign. Let's quit thinking about self. And let's talk about a kingdom today.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful kingdom of God. Amen. Now, Acts 8, verse 1. Right after the stoning of Stephen. And shortly we'll jump up to chapter 11. But notice 8 and 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all, read this with me, am I reading this correctly? They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the preachers. I said that on purpose. Except the apostles. Except those leaders. They stayed put. Except the apostles. And everyone else was what? Was scattered out. And we're talking about the whole church here. The persecution did what? It sort of turned things upside down. How many believe that a persecution to the church in America would not be a bad thing? I believe that. I don't think it would be a bad thing. Amen. You know why? It would thin out the real from the fake. You'd find out who was who when the persecution arose. When we had to choose between our life and our faith, we find out who really believes what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. But I believe a persecution would be a wonderful thing for the church, because every time a persecution came, the church grew.
Amen.
Now notice this. This persecution came, the church, all of them were scattered except for that handful of preachers, the apostles. I used that on purpose. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Now notice the non-preachers in verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What? What? No. The preachers stayed in Jerusalem. I just read that for you, didn't I? The apostles were there. You know what people want to do? Let's get them saved. Let's drag them to church so Brother Ted can preach to them. We've got this house-centric mentality that things only happen here. But I want to tell you where they happen is out there. God that I serve is not limited to work inside these four walls. He's big enough to work everywhere. He's big enough to work in your home. He's big enough to work in your job. He's big enough to work in the grocery store. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, what we've got to do, all of us, this morning, is commissioned to be a preacher. Raise your hand if you're a preacher. Need more preachers this morning? Raise your hand if you're a preacher. I ain't going to quit till y'all raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're a preacher. Come on, raise it high if you're a preacher this morning. All right, who's next? I'm going to give you the microphone. No, I'm joking. Well, whether you like it or not, if you're a Christian this morning, if you are saved by the blood of Christ, you are commissioned to work in the field. There is a harvest to be reached. And friends, I want you to know the first thing. I say that, there's a lot of things, but the first thing this morning that's on my mind and on my heart is that you need to preach the Word. And what I mean by that, you need to witness to those you come in contact with. It's not about Brother Ted today. Now, if you'll bring them to my house, I'll surely witness to them. But I'm telling you, it'd be hard to get somebody to come to my house and need witness to them. And if they've got that much confidence and faith in you, it sounds like you need to witness to them. But let's get away from the preacher, pastor mentality that Brother Ted or the preacher is the only one that can witness and testify. I want to know you are called to share this Word with everyone you come in contact with. If you believe that, say amen. Fast forward to chapter 11. We're still here in the book of Acts. Notice verse number 19, Acts 11 and 19. It talked again about this same group of people. We're three chapters later. A lot of events have occurred in the meantime, but guess what? They're still scattered abroad, and what are they still doing? Verse 19, now, when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen, we are talking about the same event, aren't we? Traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. What does it say? Preaching the Word, but to none, but unto the Jews only. How many of you thank God that the covenant we have is not limited to one people group or one individual or one language or one tongue, friends? I want you to know, or one economic background. If God only dealt with the rich folk, that'd leave the rest of us out. Can you say amen? But I want you to know He loves you regardless if you're a man, woman, boy, girl, young, old, regardless of your station in society. If you draw breath today, you're a candidate to praise Him. David said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And as long as there's breath in your your body. There is hope for your soul. Jesus Christ is available for you to be saved and delivered. And then take that same breath and do what with it? Preach the word. So you're called to be a preacher. Now, if you want to follow me, Matthew chapter number 5. Let me go to number 2. You may not have a pulpit ministry, but you have a ministry. And we need to adopt the mentality that it's everyone's responsibility to share the gospel. How many are with me today?
Amen.
I hope this energizes you to go out. Number 2, we need to be salt and light. What does God want from you? He wants you to be salt and light. Matthew 5:13. Notice, ye are. Now we're going to repeat that phrase in verse 14. Ye are. Are is the present state of being. He didn't say you was or you could be. He says you are. How many are today?
Amen.
I are salt. I are light. Just say that for yourself. I are. Yes, I are. How you doing? I are fine. Thank you very much. But what that is, that's a present state of being. Right now, this is what we should be. Amen. Now notice the scope of this. Let me read this for you. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ye are the salt of Casey County. How many understand this a little more than that?
Amen.
Ye are the salt while you're at church. How many understand this more than that?
Yes.
Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. Verse 14, ye are present state of being right now. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16, so let your light shine before men that they may do what? See your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Jesus gives us an exclusive list here of the factors. How many understand that salt affects everything around us? If you put salt in a pot of food, that salt don't stay in one place. It permeates throughout all that food. When you turn on a light, it shines in all directions. Light and salt affect that which is around it. Say amen.
Amen.
Now he said you're the salt of the earth. Verse 13, you're the light of the world. Earth and world. And how many understand that's a big place? And what I want to tell you today, it is our responsibility. It is our job. Hallelujah. I know someone said that if we don't do this, God will get somebody else to do it. I don't know that work will not be done. Are y'all with me today? Now God can use anybody He wants to use. And if God deals with somebody, He can send somebody else. But friends, I don't want harvest laying in the field because I'm not doing my job or that I'm too lazy. Say amen. And I believe that we are the only factor to make a difference in this world. I believe that. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he that now withholdeth will withhold. Friends, and what that is saying, let me put it to you in my terminology, this man of sin, this last day's world ruler that we can read about in the Bible in Revelation 13 in different places through the Scripture is withheld today. Because I believe there's a praying church still in this world that withholds that force from coming to full power. We make a difference in this world. We need to be salt and light in the world. Can you say amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Number 3. Glory to God. I am who I am. And we've been here now. We're over 10 years now. And if y'all haven't figured me out yet and you've listened to me, then I don't know what to tell you. I'm a teacher of the Word of God. That's what I do. I preach and I teach whatever, but I expound the Scripture because I have the sincere, intense burden that the Word of God can do a work in people. No amount of promises and no amount of resolutions can do the work in you that the Word of God planted in your heart can do. David said in Psalm 119, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Three verses later in that same psalm, he says that word is the cleansing power. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Psalm 119, verses 8 and verse number 11. I believe the word of God makes a difference. And I want you to notice the Great Commission here. Verse 18. Jesus came. If you're in Matthew 28:18, say amen. Amen. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, I want you to know Jesus is ready to ascend back to God the Father in heaven. From there, He will descend the Holy Ghost upon the believers in the upper room. But His mission and His work is on earth is complete. He's getting ready to leave. Help me understand how important parting words are.
Yes.
Those last thoughts that you want to leave with people. That you want to drive the point home. So He's getting ready to go back to God, His Father. And what does He do? He says, okay, I'm getting ready to go. I've got all power. And since I've got all power, this is what I'm commissioning you to do. They call this the Great Commission. Notice the next verse as He says, go ye therefore. Teach. To do what? He said, teach all nations. He said, then, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Then verse 20, guess what? He goes right ahead and says again, teaching. He said, go, teach, baptize, and teach. Now, how many believe that it's important that somebody teaches? And what that's saying is, make disciples. What does the Lord want us to do? He wants you to preach the Word. Amen? He wants you to be salt and light. Amen? And He wants you to disciple people. In other words, He wants you to tell them about it. He wants you to show them through your life to be salt and light. And then He wants you to teach them in detail. And I believe this morning that the more we can convey the Word of God and the more we can use the Word of God in the lives of our children and our friends, how many know that will make a difference? Now I want you to go back to Matthew 11, and this is my last verse this morning. Give me just a few more minutes. I want you to know I feel wonderful today.
Amen.
I use it a lot, but I believe I go bear hunting with a switch. I told you the other half of that. Really, I was preaching in a tent in Pound, Virginia. It was Pound or Wise, Virginia. We had them both over there. Back in either 84 or 85, I can't remember. How many can remember that far back? How many of that was before you were born? Anybody? Some of you young folks? That was a long time ago. But brother, I was listening to the radio and I heard a preacher preach and he got all excited and he says, you know what, I feel like going to burn out. He said, in fact, if the Lord were to come right now and meet us in the air, he said, I believe I can make the first 30 feet. Yeah. He was feeling good. That always stuck with me. But notice Matthew chapter 11. I want this to really drive home because this is the parting words of Jesus when He says, teach, baptize, teach to observe all things that I've written. And you know what He said? I'll be with you everywhere you go to do it. I would not want to preach this gospel without the presence of God in my life. You can't do a God-sized work with a man-sized strength. We've got to have the strength of the Lord. Amen. Verse number 28, Matthew 11. This is a very common scripture. I'm sure you heard it, where He said, come unto me. Now this is Jesus. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What does He say? Take my yoke upon you. And then says, do what? Learn of me. How many you love Jesus? Can I just, let me put on my pastor hat here just for a minute. We love Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful that Jesus, Brother Billy, He died on the cross for me to say. He loved me that much. To demonstrate His love. And there is an entire book. You're holding it in your lap, most of you right now. That describes this man in detail. The Holy Scripture. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. Jesus challenged the Pharisees, you search the Scripture. For in them you think you've got eternal life. But they, the Scripture, are they that testify of me. How many know that the Bible is full of Jesus?
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was manifest. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is Jesus. Revelation 19 describes Him coming back on a white horse, and there on His thigh is that rope, the Word of God. And what that tells me that in this one person, this one individual, God in the flesh, the Son of God coming down, in that one person is embodied all the promises of God. Paul said in Corinthians, for the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and they're amen.
Yeah.
Everything's in Jesus. You need a miracle for your body, that's in Jesus. You need salvation for a soul, that's in Jesus. If you need victory in your mind, that's in Jesus. How many are with me today?
Amen.
If you need hope, if you need assurance. And how many know the list goes on and on and on. But I want to tell you, it all comes to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I love you. And I want you to take my yoke. Put it around your neck. You know, in order to have a yoke, you have to have at least two. A yoke is that which unifies animals together, beasts of burden, to accomplish a single task. And Jesus is saying, I've got the yoke on. Join me. Join me in the work. Now, what does he say here? When you take this yoke, you need to do something. You need to learn of him. And I believe today the great commission is that we teach one another the love of God. Salt and light, we display through our life, somebody say amen, the love of God. And I believe the burden and the reason we preach and carry the message of the gospel is because we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. This past week, I was listening to a gospel song. And the song, and I don't know if y'all heard this or not, but it's don't tell them about the love of Jesus until you show them yourself. How many have heard that song? Anybody heard that song? I had never heard it before this past week. But don't that make a lot of sense? You can tell people all day, well, Jesus loved you, Jesus loved you, Jesus loved you. How about let us love them? I know Jesus loves them. Jesus already proved that. We need to love them. Sister Betty, you come to the piano this morning. These three things this morning, I want you to sort of, it's a seed for tonight, but we need to preach the word. We need to be salt and light. We need to fill the Great Commission. We need to make disciples of all nations. Let's stand to our feet all over the building this morning. We're getting ready to come and pray. I want to challenge you this morning that wherever you're at, and how many sometimes feel like life is three steps forward, two steps back?
Amen.
How many understand that? But even if you go three steps forward and two steps back and you keep doing that, you're gaining one step each time. But how many sometimes feel like, Lord, I've just taken four steps back? But regardless of how many steps you took, here's the thing, friends. You can't change yesterday.
That's right.
Yesterday is gone. It's in the book. It's finished. You can grieve over it. You can glory in it if you accomplish something great and wonderful. But whatever it is, yesterday is gone. There's nothing you can do to change it. But here's what we can do. From this point forward, we can say, Lord, I commit my life to you. I'm trusting you for my tomorrow. My next step is going to be walking more toward you than I have in the past. Lord, forgive me for where I've done wrong. Forgive me where I've messed up. Forgive me where I've sinned. Help me make the right next step. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. We're going to come around the altar just in a minute. Let's pray together first. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning for your word. Thank you this morning, Father, for all that you've done and all that you've provided. Everything you endured, everything you suffered and went through in order to demonstrate your love for us. And Lord, this morning we just receive you in all your goodness. We receive the full benefit of the cross of Calvary. Father, this morning we receive sanctification for our hearts and lives. We receive deliverance, Lord, over sin. We receive healing for our body. We know that what you've done provided all things, and we receive it all this morning. Lord, this morning you understand each person present. You know every need. Father, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister right now. Lord, that you would challenge and motivate them to grow closer to you. We know the door is open today, and we receive all that you have. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's come and gather around the altar this morning. Find a place to pray.